Reno Center, October 10th, 2021. After meditation and bhajans, study circle begins, and Kavi announces the format of the study circle and the quotes for the next few weeks. Please note that in the middle of this discussion, Sat makes the comment, "How far is it from here to here?" And at this point, she points to her head and then to her heart, meaning how far is it from your mind to your heart.
We're going to be reading out of Love and Wisdom and bringing in quotes from either Prema Vahini or Jnani Vahini from Baba. So Love and Wisdom on both sides together. So today is from Love and Wisdom, from Love, and it's Sat's prayer. And from Prema Vahini, it's page 5. And I'll start by reading Prema Vahini. Man must have samadrishti, equal sight. All creation must appear to his eyes as equally auspicious. He must look upon all beings with as much love and faith as he has in himself, for there is nothing evil in creation. No, not even an iota. Evil appears as such only through faulty vision. Creation gets colored by the nature of the glasses we wear. By itself, it is eternally pure and holy. Now we'll read Sat's prayer. Dear Truth, Dear One, let us see the all-pervasive existence where there is two. Where there is pain, let us see that. Where there is fear, may we see that. Where there is stress and anxiety, may we see that. Where there is disharmony, may we see that. Where there is mistrust, may we see that. Where there is loneliness, may we see that. Where there is love, may we see that. Where there is hate, may we see that. Where there is understanding, may we see that. Where there is misunderstanding, may we see that. May we see that. Only that. In that, may we keep quiet, because there is nothing to see, nothing to hear, nothing to say, nothing to do, and we become a flute, like Krishna's flute, where beautiful songs, beautiful music, and beautiful words can flow out of us to that. Does anyone have any reactions, sharings, or questions about Sat's prayer or this quote from Prema Vahini?
That prayer always touches me in the most beautiful way from the first time I heard it.
Anyone else want to share about what Sat's prayer means to you, how it makes you feel?
For me, I was thinking about it today, and the way I experience it is taking everything to silence as much as I can. And the way that it now says that, for me it was hard to translate 2 to 1. I didn't have deep understanding of that, but I can understand that taking everything to silence, that, like, whatever that is it, if it's misunderstanding, anxiety, fear, whatever it is, when you take it to silence, it kind of dissolves, like, what it says the very last 2-3 lines. So So to me, that's what I understand it now.
What I have taken away from this beautiful prayer is that this is about going from the realm of duality and multiplicity, returning to the realm of divinity. And this idea of return has been with me for a long time. It was when I came across this stop meditation and how we, it's as simple as bringing our energy down from one realm to the other, where I was able to get a glimpse of and the grandeur of that teaching. To me, that's, it's about returning to one's home.
For me, like, my mind can't, like, make sense of it. Like, my mind, I can't reconcile, but like, that's okay. Like, I don't think I'm supposed to.
I've always loved this prayer. It was one of the first things I had ever read or experienced that had come through SAT. And it does take me to that. And Satjan, I don't know if you've answered this or if you care to answer, but today was the first time I read it where it doesn't say one, it says to that.
Yes, yes.
And I was wondering if what Tharna said is why that was changed. Was there a reason that it was changed from one to that?
Because one is still a concept that is not two. In that, you can explain. It's the finality of it. That Adrian was saying, you won't understand it, but that's completely okay. But I agree with Mansoor, the prayer is really leaving the realms of duality. And when this prayer was said, it came spontaneously out of me with a tremendous force, and the whole room shook. I remember I thought an earthquake came. I normally don't share about my own experiences in publicly, but because the prayer is in front of me, I figure that it must have some power, the way it came out and the way the whole room shook. It is the thinker saying, I don't want to be in the duality anymore. Grant me equal vision so that everything in my mind is purified enough, my mind is purified enough to translate everything to that. And then in the end, it says, after you translate everything to that, what is it left? What do you need to know? What do you need to see? What do you need to hear? You will just feel like a flute, like Krishna's flute, where things spontaneously flow through you to that, because there is nothing else but that. And we go back to I am that that I am. And it is a that without pointing to anything specific. And it really is a grand desire to release the humanness and be that I am alone. That I am. And then there is no words to explain. I mean, you just hit a wall of silence and satisfaction. What are you going to say more than that? But prayer should be felt, should be understood. You can't just read a prayer and enjoy the rhythm of it or the meaning of it. Who doesn't want to see that instead of pain, fear, disharmony? It's really inviting us to silence. That's the bottom line. That's the only way we can go beyond duality. There is no other way to tackle the contradiction but to be quiet and to dive deep. I went on and on and on.
Let us see that. More of that.
But if you have any questions on this prayer, or there is something that puzzles you, it's okay.
I'm sorry I'm talking too much, but the idea of returning for years and years seemed like it requires this heroic, like I have to lift the weight of the world to cleanse myself.
Yeah.
And the idea, quite the contrary, the idea of staying silent and being, just being, you know.
Yes, you are a miracle, because my wish was to hear you say what you said tonight. I waited for 2-3 years. Honestly, God. I even talked quite a bit of stuff behind your back. Why is he carrying so much weight? That makes me really happy, because the simplest, how far is it from here to here? Do you need to go around the world? Yes, in your mind we go every minute, if we allow it. But from here to here, look how compact we are as far as perfection goes. It does not need anything outside or using the mind to get to it. That's the trick part of it. The less you use it, the more you have it. Yeah. And the most amazing news is then, when you transcended all the nonsense that is on the surface, there is nothing to see. I mean, just take a moment and contemplate. Is there a need to see something and discover something? Nothing to hear. I mean, we want to hear the truth. We want to hear the good news. We want... It's complete. Everything is that. Where do we go from there? And totally, I agree, nothing to say. There is no use. And therefore nothing to do. The doing happens through you. The talking happens through you. The seeing happens. The hearing just happens. There is not so much story behind of seeing and touching and all of that. And what happens? The body becomes vacant from the clutter. Becomes like a flute that the breath of divine does a spontaneous singing, talking, walking, doing. And it turns to beautiful music. There's just beautiful music. And even flowing out of that flute goes to that, because there is nothing but that. And we might sit and hear these words and say, oh gosh, what do I have to do now? That is not for me. Dismiss this type of thinking, and then you are that. Right there. Simple.
من این دعا رو خیلی دوست داشتم، همجور که از اول شما گفتید، الان صبح گفتید مثل که دنیای دوگانگی رو بشریت پشت سر رو دارم و یه درک عمیق‌تری پیدا کردم نسبت به این دعا نسبت به قبلم. البته تو مقاله ناتینیست شما تو پاراگراف آخر مثلا یه خطش میگید که میخوام گفته خودتون باشید، میگید اگر بینش آن را داشته باشیم همه چیز باید آن باشد و اگر نداشته باشیم همه چیز هرج و مرج و آشفته است. الان این بینش برای من همینه که هر چی پیش میاد به یه عمق ببرم، به پایه و بیس ببرم، به سکوت و نگاهی که مدام بالا میچرخید و افکار و احساسات برش گردونم به این پایه. و چون برای اینکه این پایه حقیقت وجود من دائمی ثابت و این یه زندگی حقیقی این هستش.
Yes, 100%.
So Hela shares that I also loved this prayer from the beginning, where it says you leave the world of duality. I feel like I have a deeper understanding of this prayer now than I did before. Also in the article Nothingness, the last line of it, just as you also say it here too. And this line helps me to take everything that happens to the depth, to the silence, to the base, instead of circling it around in my mind to bring it back to the true foundation. And this is real life. And I'm going to read the line from the article that Sohila read. Therefore, everything has to be that, if we have the vision for it. And everything is chaos if we don't.
Now let's go and review Baba's teaching.
Man must have samadrishti, equal sight. All creation must appear to his eyes as equally auspicious. He must look upon all beings with as much love and faith as he has in himself, for there is nothing evil in creation, not even an iota. Evil appears as such only through faulty vision. Creation gets colored by the nature of the glasses we wear. By itself, it is eternally pure and holy. Anyone like to share about this? Anyone like to discuss the parallels between the two?
I have personally heard when I was in the ashram, Baba saying, not even an iota of evil in the world. And of course, when I heard it, I could hardly agree with it. But I'm going to share my understanding through my own experience, and I don't want to take other people's sharing. So I'm going to share, and then please come in and share your part. Man must have equal sight. How can one have equal sight when one thinks that person is the mind and the body? It becomes quite impossible. All creation must appear to his eyes as equally auspicious. when I really see the auspiciousness is when I see the totality in forms. In other words, when I realize that the creation is not separated from the base, to me, this glass, a pair of glasses, make it more understandable for myself personally. But you can't see the existence in everything you see until you find that existence within your own self. So he's not saying, you know, when you get up in the morning, change your glasses and everything would be dandy. No, there is a process here of going from untruth to truth. When he says creation gets color by the nature of the glasses is your consciousness, translated to your consciousness. If your consciousness is polluted, then your glasses are polluted. The glasses we wear, the consciousness we believe and we are functioning from. Otherwise, the pure consciousness is that existence when all the activity of duality starts, it pollutes it. But he says, by itself, it is eternal, pure, and holy. What is he talking about? He's talking about creation, right? Creation is only in the consciousness, is in the conscious of the unity of consciousness. So if I look at it in the face value, as someone that has not had that inner experience, I would say, Baba, what glasses should I wear? How do I change it? Help me. I want to see the way you're saying. I want to see everything as purity. But ultimately, the unwinding of our ways and our walk toward the home really clears this up. You see clearer. Your discrimination is sharper. You see the untruth and you see the truth within your own self. And that is changing glasses, to my opinion. But let's open it and see what everybody thinks of how to change the glasses and see everything as beautiful as it is.
It kind of reminds me that I have to be careful what I give attention to, because that is going to affect how I see things.
Yes. It really does. It really does. The attention is very powerful. You give it, anything you give it, you become one with it, at least temporary. Until it's shifted to something else. Probably attention is what gives humans a good chance of waking up. How do you change your glasses?
I spend more time going this way than that way when I remember. Mm-hmm. Like the work in the yard really helps me. I like to listen to audios, and I like to reflect on where I used to be, and all this guidance makes me happier and happier.
I think the purpose of you and I on Sunday is to make sure that we leave here, or when we turn off our computer, with a deeper understanding of ourselves. Otherwise, we wasted our time. Really, it becomes just a program in our life. So tonight, I feel like if we can go home with anything, would be in order to go beyond the duality, or as Baba says, have a equal-minded pair of glasses, is to mix less and less with bad company up here and keep the good company as much as we can. And when I say bad company, only when it's the thoughts that disturbs you. Otherwise, the mind and the heart are one and the same. So that's the... Maybe during the week we remember this study circle, and perhaps we get a chance in the daytime for a few times if we feel like there is an unpeaceful thought or unpeaceful emotion. We just sink in and let it come and let it go and give a space to that equal-mindedness within us. And I'm including myself in everything I talk. There is another habit that is opposite of being able to be simple and quiet, is the habit of hurrying, either hurrying in the mind or in the body. And it's only a habit. When you watch yourself as a watcher, that you're hurrying and things are becoming more and more important, take a moment and pull back. Say, where am I going? How important is it in the span of my lifetime? And that helps to settle and then do. So these are just a little things that helps us become equal-minded. It's not that we become too unaffected by time. It's just that when we see that is unnecessary, there is an energy that is going more forward than you need to go with it, just pull it back and make a balance. Or if the energy goes to talk and prove something to someone, pull it back consciously to a place where it gives you time to really evaluate the situation.
Pull it back. Is it to just not do the thing, or is it to bring your attention?
When you see your attention running with the thoughts forward in doing or saying or whatever it is, pull it back means to stay. Let it come back to the inner instead of rushing out. You know that, everybody knows that. It's not like you're fishing and you pull the thing down. You just relax and let it. By acknowledging, that's the best thing.
That is happening.
That is happening. That's the first thing. You acknowledge that your mind is going too much forward or too much backward and making you hurry. Just acknowledge it and stay. Even if it's for 10 seconds.
Sorry, Ida, were you going to go?
I was just going to say, Maidrit, over the years you've worked on me a lot with hurrying, because I was doing that a lot, and I remember you always said to practice, are you with me?
mm-hmm.
when I was in the process of hurrying and catching myself.
Yeah.
And you told me it's like a shock to your nervous system when you hurry so much. And Are You With Me is going to help you so much.
And has it?
Yeah.
Okay, that's another remedy.
In this prayer, is this instructional in that, like, when you see pain, turn your attention to that?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that same acknowledge and take, yeah. and just look at that for a few seconds?
Yeah.
I was going to say one last thing. Because I've had both sides experience it, I don't know if it's because of my focus or my attention, but my experiences are very different from what they used to be. When I was very hurrying and active, very active in my mind, my experiences were very different. They were hard. There was a lot of
failure too.
Yeah, a lot of failure, and I was not only battling my own mind, I was battling with other people's minds. I was always feeling like I was in battle, really. And I feel like my experiences are very different now.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, sir.
Namaste to all of us.